That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It feels so good to be back, you know?
Yeah, it really does feel so good to be back. Before we really get into the nitty gritty of it, you know, today on Sidework Podcast, this very special episode of Sidework Podcast, Brooke, I really would like to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review.
Ooh, all the things. And I have to commend, some of you just came out of the woodwork, sent us some server submitted stories. It felt like the holidays.
I love receiving mail packages. It's not a bill, not an advertisement, just straight from your guys' hearts and traumatized memory banks.
Yep.
Thank right you
for
to us.
Yeah, thank you for trauma bonding with us. But welcome to Sidework Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
And I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace. And Brooke, we are
broadcasting live.
We're broadcasting live from straight from Buca de Beppo today. Hello. We know you guys are listening to this, but hopefully if you put eyes on socials, as you should, you'll see that we have upped our technology game today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby.
And we're also I'm going to say this is the 60s section from where I worked at Buca. This would be like this.
The swinging
the 61,
sort of
62.
Oh, the actual, 63. You remember the table numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I'm in the Pope room. Yes. If you can see him behind me with the big, the rotating lazy Susan for everybody. And what's more is we actually went and dined together at Buca de Beppo earlier this week.
We sure did. But more to come on that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk really quick about there's a looming storm about to hit Los Angeles, California. Hurricane Hillary is coming straight at us. Now, you guys are going to listen. When you're listening to this, the storm will have passed already. So we could be dead by now, you know?
Well, at least we finally, our last will and testament of the podcast was we finally talked about Buca de Beppo.
We went full meta for the last episode, guys. Like we really went full circle.
Whether you can see this or not, I am actually wearing a shirt that looks like an Italian checkered tablecloth and I'm blending into the background seamlessly.
It's pretty incredible. Now, Brooke, when it comes to said pending storm, are you worried? I don't know what to think or do.
I think it's going to end up just being unusually heavy rain for this time of year when we would normally be on fire.
Right. And then there'll probably be like a little bit of flooding here and there, but I'm just kind of like trying to gauge. You know, I know some people that are just like, I went out and bought $300 worth of groceries. And I'm just like, but if the power is out, you can't open your fridge. And, you know, there's still a lot.
We already went through this. We had historically awful rain all winter long for months on end.
Yeah, my whole thing is like so much so quick. That's really the only thing. And I'm really more worried about like, you know, Death Valley apparently like 1 year's worth of rainfall is 1.7 inches and they're supposed to get like up to 3 to 4. So it's like there could be a whole new lake created in Death Valley because of this, you know?
Yeah, we always have to watch out for like mudslides. So it's like, hey, I'm not going to go hiking during the hurricane, okay?
Well, and obviously obviously this kind of weather is going to really fuck with a Sunday night shift. Let's not lie, huh? You're going to get like the people that are scared and not coming in, but then you're going to get the weirdos that are going to want to wait at the storm in the bar. Let's not forget those guys.
Get ready for your disaster survival campers. They're like, I'm here to camp with you. The ultimate place, though, if you do get trapped, food and drink.
It's true. It's very, very true. Now, Brooke, would you tell me, you were telling me you were going to get some energy healing done this week. And did that happen?
I did. You know, especially after our little speech to everyone about self-care last episode, I got advertised to by Instagram. Surprise, surprise. I walked out of it. I showed up. I was like, this person didn't really greet me, didn't tell me his name, didn't really ask who I was. There was no intake, no
forms. Wait, there was no consultation whatsoever?
No. I don't think this guy is above board because they only accept cash or Zelle.
Oh,
right, right.
Well, yeah, I mean, he should be. He has to be. You didn't see a license on display anywhere?
I was looking for, and like his energy, like he was real squirmy and weird because he's like, and I mean, I'd watched some of the videos and it's like when I kind of went back and watched another one, he's the kind of energy healer who in his video like was having a convulsion because he was pulling negative energy out of a client, but he took it, you know, he took it into himself.
He did like, yeah, right, sure, sure.
So
a real Green Mile situation.
It was, yeah, he started yawning bees and I was like,
yawning bees.
I gotta get out of here. But no, where I'm just a little bit like, hi, I'm Brooke. Like, I'm a woman walking into a dark room. Like, you need to, you know, because he was almost like, please, you know, get on the table and get settled. And then he stood outside the room and stared at himself in a full length mirror for a minute straight. Like, whether it was like, I don't know. And then after saying nothing to me, and I'm like, this is so fucking weird. Like, I'm face down on the table and he's like, do I have permission to touch your body? And I was like, you know what? I need a minute. And then I was like, I'm going to be honest. I'm really nervous and I don't feel good about this. And he was like, well, if you're nervous, then I'm going to ingest your nervousness and I don't want to be nervous. So
wait,
how about
what? Oh my God.
Oh my God. Right. I'm like, oh,
sorry. I mean, as a body work, like professional healer, this is
insane
bad. Right now.
Oh, I was like, all right, Buffalo Bill. And he's like, we can reschedule. I won't charge you. I was like, that sounds
yeah,
great.
You're like, you think?
I was like, what, yeah, there will fucking be no rescheduling, but like that. Well,
the
shows
worst part
you
is, didn't you drive to Venice for this or something?
People do not get an Instagram ad phishing scheme getting you into a random guy's building in Venice. I mean, there was another female masseuse, but I was like, God damn, this is bad, bad bedside manner because it's like, who are you?
I'm not totally.
So I had some energy release. I fucking rage cried the whole drive home just because it's been one of those days. But I was like, you did have an effect on me. I'm creeped out and I felt scared for myself. And I'm going to release
my
some emotions.
My favorite part of this is like translating to like, it's like you have you go and you sit at a table and your server comes up or your customers and you're just like, you just blankly stare at each other and like nobody orders or says anything and nobody gets anything and nobody.
You're like, okay, you know what? I'll try again. I'll come back in 5 and try again. Anyways, was excited. You know, I'm surprised I'm alive. If he didn't kill me, the storm's going to. Anyways, guys, should we get into some headlines?
Let's get into some headlines.
I
love
that Brian sent this one to us.
Oh my God. First headline is so great, you guys. It's out of CNN. Spam is donating 5 truckloads of the beloved canned meat in response to the Maui fires. As we know, Spam is a staple of the Hawaiian diet left over from, you know,
World War II.
The best thing about Spam is it does not need to be refrigerated. So you can take it anywhere. It is very durable. Yep. I mean, this is $1 million worth of pork product that has been donated for sure. And I think this is like, I love this story so much.
It's a beautiful gesture because Spam has, as a company, recognizes and appreciates that it's like Hawaii alone has kept them, you know, as a product on the map where we phased out of a lot of other, you know, food items from that era. But Spam is wonderful because you have the Hawaiian people making things like moco loco with a Spam, or Spam on a breakfast
fried
plate.
Rice.
Or the masubi.
Masubi.
Oh, masubi from a gas station in Hawaii.
The only time I eat an obscene amount of Spam is when I have had the pleasure to visit Hawaii. Ugh. And it is a salty, incredible treat. That a Spam masubi on the beach with a six pack of beer is just one of the best days you'll have in your life. So kudos to Spam.
I love it. Three truckfuls and 264,000 cans donated. And the other brilliant thing about Spam is I think they invented more of the pull top, because it's like you don't even need your can opener.
Right.
You can get in that port with
you
a little pull
get
tab.
In there. Yeah, you don't need the like the you know, what do you, I'm doing a thing, but you can know
opener.
What I mean.
Yep.
Yeah. That can opener where you have to, yes, for sure. If you guys haven't donated to any relief funds in Maui for the wildfires, there are so many out there. Our last episode, we talked about a lot, but you know, just do your research, make sure they're going in the right direction. But really, there's so much relief out there. So you guys go ahead and donate if you can.
This next, I mean, I guess now.
Oh my God, this next story.
I feel like it's like we're in a trend of like we talk heartwarming things about Maui, then go straight to a TikTok ridiculous
just
human.
I know. Oh my God, if I even get the article open. Sometimes I feel like I have articles open too long and then like a pop-up happens and I can't like get to the story. But here we go from the daily.com. Oh Jesus, this Dean Redmond TikTok star virtually gets this viral video. He's a server and he has this story that he shared that says, oh my God, I'm gonna get canceled, you guys. I have the craziest story to tell you. This is nuts. So he's 22. Oh no, it all started when a 22 person bachelorette party came to the restaurant. And then he said he got terrible acid reflux after taking their order and had to run up to the restroom to throw up. I've taken a dive into his TikTok, and like this is an ongoing thing for him, which is terrible. So when he finally pulled himself together and returned to work, his boss angrily awaited him. Another large party had been waiting for him to take their order all that time, and he quickly tended to the second table but forgot to give the bachelorette party's order to the kitchen.
22 top of bachelorettes.
So he runs to the kitchen to get the bachelorette party's ticket to the front of the line. It's been 15 minutes since he should have put it in, which in restaurant time is like over an hour, as he says in his TikTok
and
video.
And it's true.
And that's when he came up with a very strange excuse for the slow service. So he grabbed a coworker who he knows she does her makeup there in the morning and is like, oh my God, we have to do something. And so they decide to make up a black eye onto his face, basically.
Oh, yeah.
So
a really realistic, nasty looking blackened
realistic
eye.
Black eye. And then he runs up to his table and he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Someone just like punched me in the face and I forgot to put your order in. And so, of course, 22 women at a bachelorette party are like, oh my God, I can't know what. And he was like, I know it's so crazy, but I swear to God, your food will be out here soon.
He's like, it's a little bit behind.
Priority.
It's a little bit behind because I was dealing with being assaulted, but I got you, babes.
So they're like, oh my God, we have to get you an ice pack. They treated him like a hero. You know, when he returned, like they were just like hysterically clapping for him. And then they ended up tipping him $160. He got a huge tip.
Yes. Now let's do the math, though. A 22 top, it's probably about the tip he was owed. But the fact that he got his full tip when he did do a fuck up, you know, I mean, also that wasn't auto-gratted. There are holes in this story, but I do like the ingenious kind of.
I'm sure they left extra.
Maybe that's. Yeah. Because I'm just kind of going like, well, he was probably auto-gratted and that probably would have worked out to be his tip on a party that big. So
right.
Yeah, maybe an extra $160. This guy, though, has antics. I mean, he told another
table. This is not his first rodeo.
No, it is not. I saw in this article that he's got an ongoing problem. He seems to barf and then forget to put tables orders in.
He loses time.
time with his head in the toilet and then comes back down. And then so he faked a dog bite. And then
yes.
He also said the police had just called and informed him his mother had been murdered.
No, she died in a car crash.
Oh, she died in a car. It doesn't matter. That is right. So psychotic.
You can't
psychotic.
Use the dead mom card, no. Especially when you forget to put a fucking order in, dude. Like, it...
that.
This people. Is so good.
But for
I mean,
me,
look, he's suffering in a way, but this is a lot. Yeah.
This is retribution for all of the scamming motherfucking customers who all they do is think of ways to lie. So this is the universe evening it all out. I don't hate him for any reason. He's like a completely hysterical gay man.
I'm like, whatever you have to do to get through a shift, you're not being malicious. You're not being mean. You're not like, you know, you're just kind of like stretching the truth a little bit. You're embellishing, you know? And maybe it's because you're... Would you rather hear someone say I got punched in the face or to be like I was throwing up, you know? Especially at a restaurant.
I know. In terms of the gross out factor, you don't want to hear that their head was in a toilet and they're touching
your
food.
But the thing is he's just like, I'm putting it all on TikTok. There's like total transparency in everything that's going on. So what are you going to do, you know?
I bet they loved him anyways and whatever. So I would say going forward, you seem really likable and you might be able to stop lying because you were just our charming person. But for now, enjoy the lies.
Enjoy those lies for sure.
All right, let's just admit it. That didn't happen.
Oh my God. All right. So this last headline, Bon Appetit, who has been killing it in food writing lately, talking about serving, talking about restaurants. I think they're doing a really bang up job. They have this really fun article that basically like, theme restaurants are back, baby. And here we are.
Here we are.
In a theme restaurant right now. In a Buca di Beppo.
Buca di Beppo.
So there's modern day new theme restaurants coming out. You know, specifically Las Vegas has this really, really fun 20,000 leagues under the sea.
Courtesy
of Lost Spirits. There was a Lost Spirits restaurant in L.A. for a long time that Instagram used to advertise me all the time. And I was like, oh, I would love to go to that. But it was like always, then it was like pandemic-y. But basically this one is like, you're taken down a dark maze through like shadowy hallways. And then like, you're asked if you want to participate in a seance for the night. And like, you get like really fun, delicious cocktails. And then it's like, you're 20,000 leagues under the sea. And there's like giant octopuses everywhere. And the food is supposed to be like insane delicious. I mean, it looks incredible. And again, the drinks are so, so good too. But that being said, this is not the only restaurant that's pushing into it. So Super Mario Brothers.
Well, I was going to say, it's too bad they haven't gotten their, there's the Titan where you could dine with billionaires and be crushed to death underwater.
Oh, boy. Or like a Running Man themed. Also, that is too soon. But RIP, is it? I don't know. That's a crazy joke.
Aren't tinned fish all the rage?
Oh, damn, son. All right. So
who says I quit stand-up comedy?
Nobody.
These are gold.
Nobody ever. So the Super Mario Brothers themed new land at Universal Studios, which you have been to, Brooke.
Oh, yeah.
They have a new Toadstool themed cafe.
Yep.
Wouldn't do it. Here in LA.
Wouldn't do it. Everything cost $1,000.
No, oh, my God. This is the thing
so
for
expensive.
Sure. I know. There's Barbie cafes in Malibu, in New York, in Chicago, and in Sydney, Australia, they're maybe headed stateside soon. There is a new restaurant called Karen's Diner, which we were talking about. The emblem is absolutely the emoji with the Karen haircut. And it's pretty much like an Ed DeBevix. You know, your servers are sassy to you, which you kind of think it would like.
It's the other way around. You should be able to be a Karen
around.
As the customer.
Yeah. Like maybe you put on a Karen wig maybe, and you just get to let loose on your servers for maybe
an hour. Everything's autograded no matter what, you know?
Totally. If someone asks to speak to the manager, there's definitely like a wah, wah,
they get
wah,
shocked.
Wah.
They get shocked. Then, or yeah.
Oh, like, I was thinking like everybody does the YMCA, but like some sort of group dance, some sort of group Karen dance. But I think when I was talking to a friend of mine who actually works at a tiki bar that's here in Burbank, who our friend Aaron, who we should get on the show to talk about all things tiki.
I've
worked at Tony's
Darts
Away for years. I really think that there's just something, a level of escapism that people really want after so much shit of pandemic. They just want to go out to eat and completely forget their woes. And if I need to be surrounded by all sorts of curated props I'm you're fully on board with a theme restaurant.
Two things on this would be, like, I think the Karen concept is backwards because it's Aussies who put this together and you don't fucking tip there and they don't get it. So it's they don't get it. Like, God bless. But the American version would be brutal.
Real brutal.
Real brutal. The reason I hope these theme restaurants will work and do better is because if the food is going to improve, then I'm interested. It was just synonymous for paying exorbitant fees for bad wedding food just to be having, you know, the theme experience. But now they know customers, like, they're not playing with that. Like, you better give them stiff drinks and good food if they're paying all that. And so that's where hopefully it's going to succeed.
I mean, people want that. I mean, people want, what is food now, like, if a theme menu or a prefix menu, if that's like theater unto itself these days. So if you're just, you know, adding some actors into the mix, again, oh, yeah. I am totally on board.
I'm in. And that headline obviously dovetails so beautifully when we get to the topic of the day. But I love it. You picked some good ones.
Oh, thanks, Brooke.
You're welcome.
Let's get into, shall we move on to some server
submitted
stories.
Oh, this is great. This is our friend who lives here in SoCal, got back in touch with us. So here we go. Oh, let me get that out of there. All right. Hi, friends. So glad you're back. I took an extended hiatus last year, too, to go hike the Pacific Crest Trail. That is so cool. She says, that's a whole other, mostly unrelated story. I did have to teach my European hiking buddies how to tip, though. Good girl. See? Anyway, I'm now working at a great restaurant owned by a dear friend and former coworker in Venice Beach. July and August is peak tourist season down near the Venice Boardwalk, where I almost got sexually assaulted yesterday. Anyways. Our typical clientele is the neighborhood folks, but because of our proximity to the beach and boardwalk, we do get a fair amount of tourists. I was working the bar and counter one day where we encourage folks to purchase a glass or bottle of wine to enjoy while waiting for their table. So a British couple approached to order some wine and immediately asked for California wine because they're in California and they don't want to drink their local nasty European wine. So we pour exclusively natural wine. Ooh, it's not my favorite. And of course, they don't want something funky and natty tasting, which limits their options to mostly European. I end up finding them a beautiful bottle of Chardonnay just as their table becomes ready. So I offer to just bring the bottle over and do beverage service at the table so their server can catch up. They love the wine. They seem really happy. About an hour later, I'm busy at the bar and the British man walks up with his credit card slips and asks which copy he should sign. I answer. Then he proceeds to tell me that his service was excellent from both me and his server. He loved the wine, but quote unquote, our food took an hour. So that's why I'm not leaving a tip. Mm. I responded, but there was nothing wrong with the service. He responds, yes, we were very happy with the service. Knowing these people were tourists, I just went and took my shot, said in the sweetest way possible, you know, your server doesn't cook the food, right? Yeah, but it took a long time and that's why I'm not tipping. And he tried to be really friendly and wave as he was leaving, like a toodaloo, enjoy your goose egg. I just stared daggers at him until he was out the door. So I went ahead, looked at the ticket times on their order after he left. From the time the food was rung in to the time the check was printed, 40 minutes total. Oh, clearly this was a tourist just looking for a reason not to tip and announcing it instead of just signing and leaving, which is, I think, the more humane thing to do. Anyways, yeah. I was less upset over the lack of tip, honestly, just dropping the bucket on a super busy high volume weekend and really just was thrown by this fucked up interaction.
Totally. So,
anyway, have a great day. Godspeed and good tips to us all. Love, Melissa.
Oh, man. Well, that's a chestnut of a story. Ugh. Yeah, just keep it to yourself. Just like, you live in another country. I'm never going to see you again. Don't be so properly British and nice and feel like you have to, like, tell me why you're not, you know, like, yeah.
Well, because the terrible part is they're admitting that they know that they should.
Mm-hmm.
See, I would just chalk it up, and because a lot of resentment builds in tourist areas that you're like, if they're not from America, I'm getting fucked. And so it's just an expectation. And it's like, fine, just lean into it. But you admitted you knew you should tip. and then gave a grotesque reason as to why you're opting. Oh God, just walk away.
I know.
Just walk into the away. Ocean.
You obviously know what to do, but you're not doing it.
And then,
and like, it's the thing, like, if you visit a foreign country, I look up tipping etiquette whenever I go to a different country, just so I know what I'm doing, like whether I'm not supposed to overtip, whether right. I'm supposed to just like leave a little extra, which is like in Italy, I know you're just supposed to just put like a few little extra if they've done a really good job, you sure. know? So it's like, do the fucking homework, you guys. Like,
they know. Ugh. They know. Mm-hmm. Gross. Anyways. Ugh. It's
well,
awesome
Melissa,
to get-
great story. Yeah.
Great to hear from you. Hey, hit us up. We would love to come visit. I think we never made that happen. So we're making local stops into anyone.
We're making
who
rounds. Yeah. I'm actually really like, good. If you guys are in LA and you want us to come visit you or in the LA area, I mean, shit, we'll come.
We'll Don't, come.
We'll come.
This is Sidework 2.0. And send any of your server submitted stories to where, Andrea?
Over to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, guys. Well, let's dive deep, if you will. Like Brooke talked about, she and I and Brian, we took a walk down server memory lane this week and popped into the Pasadena location of Buca di Beppo to relive my days of carrying, you know, 10-pound trays of pasta around. The thing I love about the Pasadena location is that I have been to the Universal location, but the Pasadena location is just like the ones that I worked at. Like, I think we did the math. I pulled a shift on 9/11 at Buca di Beppo. That's how long ago.
So crazy. That's,
if we're going to date anything, I feel real dated, you know. But I mean, we had a very fun, silly time. Oh, it was,
I mean,
lunch.
Don't worry.
You know?
We took videos too. Like, there's content coming, baby. Told
yeah,
you.
We've got
Sidework 2.0.
But before we like dive a little deeper into like our experience there, let's just talk about the origin of Buca di Beppo and break it all down, baby.
In case
you guys have no idea what I'm talking about after being listeners for it, this is our 190th episode where Buca di Beppo has been touted in some way, shape, or form on every episode, I would say. Probably Brooke.
That's why we have the Buca Bell, because Andrea just could not keep her mouth shut about Buca di Beppo.
Okay, so the name Buca di Beppo roughly translates as Joe's Small Place in Italian, although there's conflicting meanings already. So in 1993, this guy named Phil Roberts, who was an outgoing Minneapolis restaurateur with a successful steakhouse, you know, and a sleek bistro-style northern Italian restaurant he already had, but he was like, he's obsessed with red sauce joints. Like, he's super obsessed with like this like Northeast, like very, I don't know, Goodfellas-esque, you know, kind of like spaghetti and meatballs kind of place. The place that like would keep their Christmas lights on all year. The place that would hang up like velvet Mount Vesuvius like hangings. But he noticed that the owners were aging and that all of these restaurants were kind of phasing out of American culture. So he was like, I want this, and there's nothing like it in Minneapolis. And obviously, if you're a restaurateur, you just open up what you want, you know? I kind of think it'd be fun to be a restaurateur and have money and be like, what kind of weird restaurant do I want to think of?
Yeah.
So he wanted the decor to be tacky, the portions to be enormous, the atmosphere to be boisterous. And he figured it didn't matter that he wasn't Italian in the slightest, because this was more like an homage as opposed to like a very authentic way. It was like a very American take on being Italian.
It feels like Little Italy in New York, sort of, you know, where they're taking that vibe from the 50s and 60s and that you could come in. And I like how he said, I wanted it to be a restaurant people could kind of look down on, you know?
Yeah, where people could roll up their sleeves, where the decor is tacky and terrible and you feel superior, as opposed to these like nicer looking joints that are like white sleek linen and marble, and you feel like they're fancier looking, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. So in 1993, in a tiny basement in Minneapolis, Buca Little Italy, which was the first name, ooh, which would then become Buca di Beppo, meaning loosely, my buddy's basement, was born.
So what is it? Is it my buddy's basement or is it Joe's small place? Either way.
Yeah. Joe's small place, which is also named after a butthole. I'm told there's some controversy behind it. It's a teeny tiny little butthole. That's the small place. So where'd it go from there? So by 1996, like, shit was popping. Like, the first location in Minneapolis became a humongous success. They would have like 100 people standing outside on a cold winter Minneapolis night to get in. And which, holy shit, that sounds like.
Didn't you know people in Minneapolis during the winter, they keep hot lasagna in their pockets to stay warm?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's a little known fact. So by 1996, there were a dozen locations. They had gone out there and pushed them out. They were a small chain, if you will. And there were other Italian chains coming around at the time. So this is like when Olive Garden, which was founded in 82, was out there. Macaroni Grill started in 88. And that was more centered around like Mediterranean culture. But Buca was unique because it was trying to transport people to Italy. It was trying to, like, again, like we talked about, bring those Italian-American stereotypes, you know.
With all of our Italian-American friends who love to say, you know, when with African-American people, they say black don't crack. And then all of our Italian friends say olive oil don't spoil. And,
yeah, totally. Absolutely. So if you guys know anything about Buca di Beppo, their decor is just... It's off the chain.
It's an assault on the senses, but I like it.
So you know, you're getting you're walking in the door and right away you're just getting like your ass handed to you in like tacky kitsch. There's huge portions of food. If you guys didn't already know, it is a family style restaurant. And in the beginning, the menus were on the wall. You weren't even handed menus, and that was a huge deal.
That was like a sticking point for you when we went this week. You were like, oh, how dare.
I mean, the thing is like when you work there, it's a concept that not everybody can grasp, and they get there and they don't even know what's going on. And so there's almost this like, you know, amount of like, you're like, no, you're in a totally different place now. Like the menus are on the wall. So you just got to turn around and look up there and I'll show you and you can read it. And people are just like, wait, what?
Wow.
Well, I can't hold it in my hand. I have to share. And that's really how it started. But, you know, I kind of like commend the idea to be like, we're all going to sit down and share a meal together. I think that, you know, there's beauty in it. And why not with huge, ridiculous portions of food.
The thing is, you get your money's worth at Buca because you're taking home like another dinner for another night once you pack up your leftovers.
And the food, like, as I remember it, you know, I think we all remember food as being better when we were younger in ways, but like, obviously, you know, and when we continue to read this article and all the articles I found from Bon Appetit, there was like another daily dot one I found. Like, admittedly, the food gets less good, like, in these articles. They start to cut corners instead of, like, hand-chopping the San Marzano tomatoes to make the sauce, which is how I remember it. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, like, bags of pre-made marinara are being delivered, you know, things like that. So, like, I feel like when I worked there, everything was made completely fresh every single day. So, like, I thought the food was amazing. But, you know, as it happens, like, things just basically, like, get bought out when they ended up becoming a bigger chain. You know, they hired a new CEO Joe Micotrato, an Italian-American from Cleveland, Ohio, and he helped the company to expand and eventually go public. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to de-emphasize the kitsch and infuse his Italian immigrant family story into the Buca branding. And that's kind of where I came in. Like, I was kind of like right on the cusp of that when they opened the one in Omaha, Nebraska. It was very much more about the immigrant Italian and like Joe Peep and, you know, and this guy, Joe Micotrato, like came to our training because I was there like right when we opened the restaurant. And there's nothing like you could be working at a corporate restaurant and everybody coming together for all the crazy training before you open the grand opening, you know. So it was, you know, the idea was to bring legitimacy, he said, to like the tongue in cheek.
If you're gonna make fun of it, let me, the actual Italian person who lived it, is what he says. Like, let me be, you know. And I'm like, hey, I get that, right? I love this part of the article where they're saying he started mandating that the decor team stop with the photos of nuns watching Wheel of Fortune. And then he'd go, you know, he'd do walkthroughs for new stores that were opening, and he'd be looking at some of the, you know, a lot of the photos and all the art, and he'd go, that's got to go. That has to go. That definitely goes. But for the decorators, they were always seeing what they could get past him, which is really funny to think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, eventually, I think a lot of things hit like with again, this is so funny. This is all around my time. Like, you know, things happened that noticed business was slipping. 9/11. I don't know if that really had anything to do with it. The Atkins diet for sure had, you know, nobody wants to go like carb load. I was on fucking Atkins when I worked Buca di Beppo, and the kitchen would make me, they were so good. I ate so much salad. They would make me like flour free chicken breast. They made me a fake sugar, like a stevia or like cheesecake for my birthday one year. They were so good to me on my Atkins journey while I slung pasta to everybody. Oof. That's so funny.
It's rough.
But, you know, things were not looking good for Buca over the years. And then the biggest blow came in 2006 when Joe Micotrato and two other company executives were sentenced to jail.
Uh-oh.
For allegedly inflating income for Buca and stealing money for the purchase and renovation of an Italian villa.
That's authentic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little, yeah.
Two on the nose, Joe.
Yeah. So this was pretty much it for Buca, you know, as far as like this ownership. And in 2008, they were purchased by Planet Hollywood, whose founder was eager to restore the restaurant to its tacky glory days.
Which is what we walked into.
And, you know, Planet Hollywood, obviously another theme restaurant, seems like a win-win for everybody, you know? Oh, my God. So that is a little brief history just on the rundown, the business side of it. But the decor, oh, Jesus Christ,
is really the decor.
My favorite thing. And like when we walked into the restaurant the other day, just like seeing all these photos that I stared at for years.
Someone is like printing out like at headquarters the same, you know, high quality laser printed photos, which get put in the weird, purposely tacky, aged frames. But you're like, I always thought this lady was Julia Roberts. And then I look over and I see, you know, I'm like, God, just being haunted by the Julia Roberts lookalike.
Oh, I know. I mean, I knew it wasn't her, but it looks so, and she's like a sliced watermelon with like the flesh exposed like over her breast and just smiling with her head down with these big Julia Roberts lips and like curly hair.
But I guess she's Italian.
Everybody's Italian when, you know, when you're here, your family. That's a different restaurant.
Different episode.
But the decor is really meant to resemble post-World War II Italian neighborhood decor.
Right.
So they're lined with photos of Italian immigrants and artifacts of post-war years. You know, obviously we have all the multiple theme rooms. There's like the poster room where you have all these different vintage posters. There's the wine room, which has like all the like wine bottles, and it looks like you're like actually in a vineyard. There's some really good, and obviously there's the Pope room.
Oh yeah.
Which is where you're sitting
now,
Brooke.
Yeah, I am sitting alone. When I was like, table for one, Pope room, please. Demand to sit in there alone. Can you imagine?
That's so good. So here's the thing about having all this crazy decor. So there's supposedly they have more than 2,500 images at their sites. Like, so it's a maze. It's insane. It is a complete sensory overload to be in a Buca di Beppo, you know, and it's different now. I know I keep being like, it's different now, but they used to just like pipe like all the old 50s and 60s Italian crooners, like all the time. Now they're playing like weird, like 60s kind of 80s kind of like, I don't know. I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with it either. Can you imagine if you're like the night steward or the person who has to clean this goddamn place?
Oh, and dust the fucker? Yeah, we'd have to dust. We would definitely have to dust. Like if you got time, you got time to clean for sure. You know, there's a literal Romanesque style statue that looks a lot like Trump that we'll post on the socials for you guys to check out.
It's incredible. You know, everyone's favorite RICO charged former president, truly living out his mob dreams.
I mean, Joe Micotrano went a little RICO, still in the money to try and get the Italian villa. That's for sure. So with all this, like especially religious decor, and some of it's very tongue in cheek. Of course, the haters come out.
Sure. The pearl clutchers and haters.
Oh yeah, an incident occurred in 2000 when a Catholic bishop visited a recently opened Fort Lauderdale location and found the changed treatment of his faith imagery to be upsetting.
Ooh, well, your treatment of children is upsetting. All right.
There's
anyways.
A pope room. There's a cardinal room. I mean, if you can't, you know, the Catholic Church is the everyday way of life in Italian culture. It is there. It is part of it. You see nuns everywhere. You see priests everywhere. Like, I think, if you can't take a joke.
A guy who rides around in a pope mobile with a giant, you know, with a hat the size of a surfboard on his head, I think he should be able to laugh a little bit, my friend.
Absolutely. And every Buca di Beppo is blessed by a priest.
A cardinal or a priest?
It's priest that comes in and does the blessing on the new openings. And some of them even do rabbis that come in. But apparently it's done a lot. You know, if having a business blessed by a Catholic official is a fairly common practice, which I had no idea.
I like this part too, where clearly some families in Houston took offense to your fake Julia Roberts hiding her boobs behind a slice of watermelon.
Oh, there's titties all over Buca di Beppo.
They sure
and
would hate,
dongs.
They sure would hate going to actual Italy and seeing sculptures.
Well, and actually, you know, there was a pope, I wish I knew which pope it was, but there was a pope that was basically like, no dicks for anybody, you know? And all of the sculptures in Italy, all the wieners were covered with like with grape leaves. So if you go to the Vatican, you'll see all these beautiful old sculptures, and then you've got like a little grape leaf that's about, 300 years newer, and they've taken some of them off, but they're just like, cover up the dicks.
Cover up the ding-dongs. We're going to cover them up with a little modesty, Merkin.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we if we didn't mention this, I think a lot of our fans would be disappointed, but there is an Encino Buca di Beppo. And if you guys are familiar with Dorit Kemsley, the Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, she and her husband are part owners of that location, and she decorated her own room.
Mm-hmm. So she's got the Capri room, where it's like, it's actually really pretty, and I think
it's really cute.
Exclusively have like limoncello in there, you know.
Yeah, it's dedicated to like, yeah, definitely like lemon groves of Italy. So it's very cute. But yeah, I mean, oh my god, I think we've already said way too much about Buca di Beppo, honestly. But
it
like,
was time. It was time.
It was
we said
really
all the
time. I don't know though. I think our experience there, I'm so glad we went. It was really fun to have a silly time. I mean, honestly, like it was very hilarious to be like, oh my god, I spent so many nights like covered in marinara sauce, like from my shoes to my shirt to like packing up like pounds and pounds of food. Brooke got to see me like close a to-go lid like nobody's business because leftovers.
Yep, she showed me the industry trick, you know, because it's the kind where you have to press the foil down on top of the flat paper, which we're all picturing that. And if you have to do that 10,000 times a night, you're going to cut yourself. So she did it with a knife and a smooth, deft one motion, one and done. I was like, girl, you still got it.
You get cut by foil once, you don't want to get cut by foil like
thick, like, metal material. And no, thank you very much.
Well, and I don't think I've been to one other than I think a small group of us visited you in Chicago at one point, and you might have hooked us up.
Oh, I'm
but,
sure
I mean,
you did.
That was 22 years ago at this point.
It was 22 years.
So I hadn't been back, and it was really fun to be like, you know, you were like, no, this is as big as the one in Chicago, which is mind-boggling to me because there are such...
Tavernous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cavernous. That's the word.
But tavernous, yeah, and just, cavernous.
I just, yeah, it boggles the mind. You know, what really I always think about too is like, what's going to happen to these when these go out of business? Like, what else would go into a place like this? You know?
I know. You'd have to chap it up in a different
section. Chap it up in,
you know,
smaller
build
pieces,
some like, walls.
I mean, I would love if there was a Buca di Beppo, like, estate sale. I would love, there were so many knickknacks that I would love to get my hands on. Like, the kitsch alone, just to be like, yes, 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 would have that in my home. Like,
incredible. You know, so we did, and we'll end on this. There were a few things that Andrea was sort of like, that's fucked up. It didn't used to be this way. And it was, first of all, like, plastic menus, and they were not clean menus either.
Smeared with dried ice cream,
Spumante all over it, or something. It was pretty gross. And you know, when you see these chains where they have to do their integrations with a brand or something, so to just see on the back like featuring Tito's, something, you know, and you're like, oh god. It. My wine came in a branded stemless Buca wine glass, and Andrew was like, oh, we used to do the rustic. Little plain, you know. I mean,
oh, which people would freak out about too, and they'd be like, "Don't you have anything stemmed?" We'd be like, "Nope, we don't. This is how they do it in the old country. It's just table wine, you know,
just table wine in a little short little glass, clear glass." That was bugging. And then obviously, you could do family style, but we each got our own portions.
We did, you know, and it was lunch, and I guess that's like the thing too, is like once they started being like, oh, we're not gonna do family style anymore, we're gonna shrink the portions, I was just like,
you changed, Buca di Beppo,
and like, a good,
I got out pretty
you.
Quick after that, you know,
Buca.
I'm not gonna lie,
you're old guard Buca. I'm appreciative of that.
I do think it's fun though. It's like, who really has an opportunity to like go? And if you guys haven't, if you worked at a corporate restaurant, I think that's, unless like the restaurants that you worked at so many years ago are still open and alive and kicking, you know, I think it's fun to do a little nostalgic cruise back to,
oh, heck,
you know.
Yeah. Just because, like, the way we talked about how much TGI Fridays changed the evolution of it from being, like, the place to get laid and do coke and everyone wanted to work there to now, again, like, here's our Cheetos menu, you know, featuring items with Cheetos. And it's
here's a special Mountain Dew flavor that you can have. Not to mention that you can, like, your freezer section is ripe with TGI Fridays food now.
Exactly.
You know? It's just weird.
Old days,
cool. For sure. Well, God, you guys, thanks for entertaining this Buca di Beppo sponsored episode. Please, again, rate, subscribe, send in those server submitted stories, sideworkpod@gmail.com. And Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
We do. Godspeed.
And good tips, you guys. We'll talk to you next week. We'll talk to you next week. Play out that bell, Brooke. Play the bell out. I can't hear it.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Well, right. Brian, insert bell noise here.
We'll talk to you guys. We're good. I promise. It'll come through on the audio side. All right. Okay. Talk to you next week.